there to have been upwards of 250,000 young white girls raped in this century, very largely by Muslim men.
In 2008, an 11-year-old girl came to the attention of the police after she disclosed that she and another child had been sexually abused by a group of adult males. Just a few weeks later, she was found in a derelict house with another child and a number of adult males. Yet she was arrested, 11 years of age, she was arrested for being drunk and disorderly, and none of the males were arrested. Has your force identified the police officers involved in that and found out what went on?
I don't know.
The veil is lifting on the UK's festering underbelly of nauseating cover-ups, where Labour MPs under Keir Starmer's iron grip just slammed the door on justice for victims of Muslim grooming gangs.
The ayes to the right were 111, the noes to the left 364. So the noes have it, the noes have it. Unlock!
But Labour crushed it, 364 to 111. Back in January 2025, the Tories pushed an amendment to the Children's Wellbeing Bill demanding a national inquiry into the predatory networks that have ravaged thousands of young, mostly white and working-class British girls, while whispers of Islamophobia fears and political correctness shielded the perpetrators.
But I want to give a special thanks to the APPG on British Muslims for the brilliant work that you do to highlight issues affecting British Muslims and celebrate their achievements. As leader of the Labour Party, I am utterly committed to eradicating Islamophobia from my party and from society.
And let's not forget Starmer's own skeletons as director of public prosecutions in 2009. His CPS refused to prosecute serial pedophile Jimmy Savile despite credible allegations, citing insufficient evidence. Hundreds more victims suffered while the elite protected their own.
How did you get it, though?
I can get anything. Yeah. There's nothing I can't get. And there's nothing I can't do.
We should accept that pedophilia is a sexual preference, a thought, a feeling, and not an act. We should differentiate between child sexual abuse and pedophilia.
The stats paint a horrifying picture of a nation in denial, with police recording 71,227 rapes in 2024 alone, yet charges brought in a pathetic 2.7% of cases, leaving over 97% of predators walking free. By the year ending in March 2025, sexual offenses spiked to 209,079, a brutal 11% jump from the prior year.
And nothing has shaped my thinking more than our crowd-funded independent inquiry into the Pakistani Muslim rape gangs. An inquiry that should never have had to exist. An inquiry that I created only because the political system itself would not act. That inquiry has been the most sobering experience of my public life. Not just because of the awful crimes, not just because of the horrific suffering, but because of what it exposed about the way this country is governed.
Now zoom out to Scandinavia, where the same multicultural madness has turned safe havens into rape hotspots. Sweden tops the charts at 84.4 reported rapes per 100,000 people, followed by Norway at 42.39, with studies showing 92% of severe rapes in Sweden linked to foreign-born offenders. Yet convictions remain abysmally low. Just 6% in Sweden prosecute adult cases. Scandinavia's unchecked borders and elite denial breed predators, turning progressive paradises into hellscapes for women and girls, while real men appear to be non-existent. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Now,
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
You're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening here. We're excited that you're jumping on board with us. We have an incredible lineup of guests jumping on the show. Nate Vance, who I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. We've had him on the show before. I know when I was gone, Matt Tardio brought him in. Nate Vance is a veteran. He is also the cousin of Vice President J.D. Vance. And I want to talk to him about what's going on right now between the U.S. and Iran. Obviously, tensions are, they're heating up. So we'll be joining, we'll have him join us to discuss just that. We'll also have Tom Renz on the show to discuss the very latest in the MAHA movement. But before we get into all of that, I wanted to make sure we paid attention to what James O'Keefe is working on. James went undercover as a Muslim man and infiltrated a Antifa house. Now you got to see it for yourself. It's quite the impressive disguise, of course. Take a listen to clip two.
A graffiti-laced clown barn from hell with anarchist imagery all over the side.
And they have, what is inside there?
Just as I was wishing I could get inside, a man in black block walked around the side smoking a cigarette.
Hey, John.
He saw me dressed in full Muslim garb, and he let his guard down immediately.
Hello.
I'm translating it.
You speak English?
James.
Yes, I'm from America. Recently moved here. I want to get involved, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We have a homepage. Mm-hmm. This is Cyclopan. So you can go...
What is it called?
Cyclopan? It's like a cycle.
I'd like to help out.
Yeah, and on the homepage, cyclopan.se, furthest down on the page, mm-hmm. you have cyclopan@info.com.
Okay.
And you can write to us and ask when next meeting is. Then.
Thank you.
Come to the meeting.
What is inside of there?
I can show you.
Oh. Okay.
I realized in that moment my hypothesis is correct. There is no way that Antifa can say no to an Islamic person for fear of being prejudiced.
We are not Antifa. We are democratic socialist.
Okay.
And as the man who's smoking a cigarette claimed that they're not Antifa, we walked right past an Antifa symbol on the side of the barn as he was saying that.
We are not like Antifa.
We don't
have an especially political agenda here.
Just a peek, yeah. Just a peek.
This is a culture house.
Culture house?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Ooh, yeah. Stage.
This room is upstairs too.
Wow. This is so nice. Wow.
Now we were finally inside. It appeared to be a three-story structure with stairs to different levels.
But this is a culture house, though. Yes. People call it the Antifa house. You can read there. Yeah. The house. Yeah. Sorry, my misunderstanding.
The website,
cyclopan.com. Yes.
.com.
On the side of the wall was their mission statement. What stood out to us were two things. That Cyclopin wants to be an infrastructure vehicle for a larger political movement in Sweden and internationally. And Cyclopin is run by direct democratic principles. Everybody who uses the House Center has a right to decision-making.
Yeah, as you can see, it has some... There may be traces.
No Nazis, we like this. We like no Nazis.
At that moment, they closed the big iron door behind us. There was now no turning back. They did not know we were filming. One of my two friends had a hidden camera and was terrified that the door was closed behind us.
Well, I don't know if you allow Islamic people to be in here.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
For me, can I do the prayer on the cross?
Yes.
Very good, because those would be good to do the you know.
I started to break the ice. Block wearing Antifa members chanted alongside me.
I like that. No Nazis.
Guys.
You go upstairs too, like a little lounge?
Yes, yeah. Cool.
You want to go?
Oh, no, just briefly, yeah. Wow, this is so beautiful.
Thank you.
This is all done.
Yeah.
This is so nice.
Yeah, yeah. Cool place.
Yeah, very cool.
We're in the Antifa house. We're in the Antifa house. On the second story, the guy that let us in said he needed to determine if we were down for the cause before letting us be part of the team.
This is very nice.
Oh, wow. You're welcome to be here, but we came to see if you're here that you participate in whatever happening here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So you guys live here, or you just hang out?
No, or I live in the area.
Oh, okay, got it.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey,
thank you very much. Yes.
Christian was waiting in the getaway car a short distance away, and we walked briskly to his car. In situations like these, you must not run, but you must not walk too slow either. You must quickly get out of Dodge and not look back.
Oh my god.
Christian, can you turn it on, please?
We just got out of this place, so we got inside. And they brought us all the way upstairs. They opened the door. And I said, can I do my Muslim prayer? They said, absolutely. Have you ever seen anything so absurd? It's a colorful building in the middle of, like, the Scandinavian snowscape with just, like, clown show lights from Dante's Inferno.
But don't you want the...
Because they're like, we're not Antifa. And then they goes, there's some signs of Antifa.
Yeah.
So they're going to be pissed at me. Yeah, they let me in just because I'm wearing this.
Yeah.
That's why they let me in.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
We walk out and then we walk with, let's go. And he's waiting in the getaway car because he can't get into the clown show from outer space because they're going to kill him. So he's our getaway driver. Are you sure you're okay with you being in this video? And they're gonna come after you? Okay.
They're after me to the max already, so there's nothing that I can do.
As if that wasn't enough, Christian was determined to show us a second Antifa stronghold.
It's the brick building over there.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay, the brick building we're pulling up to right now.
Yeah, look.
Is the other Antifa building.
Oh,
just pull right up.
I kept seeing them.
Stop the car. Mm-hmm. So this is the other Antifa building. That's it right there?
Yeah.
Let's dang it.
Sure. Yeah. And they have a bar over here in that door.
That's true.
Right there?
But it looks a bit closed.
It looks like it's closed, but that's the other Antifa building and the bar.
Yeah.
What was interesting is that we had previously investigated Antifa in the United States in Oregon, specifically Rose City Antifa in Oregon while I was at Project Veritas. And we did secret recordings inside a bookstore headquarters speakeasy where they all met. And they talked about gouging out people's eyes.
Practice things like an eye gouge. It takes very little pressure to injure someone's eyes.
Now, Rose City Antifa was founded by Johan Victorian, a Swede, and his wife Caroline, an American.
They were getting this tradecraft from someone else, someone with much more experience, someone who did this for a living. Caroline, which is the founder of RCA, moved to Sweden with her husband, who is a dual citizen.
They lived in Portland and secretly led the group before they moved to Sweden later. They live now in Varberg, Sweden, and it was Christian Peterson who discovered them all over again.
It was an incredible piece by James O'Keefe. The full version is available right now on his X page. But, you know, James has some guts going in there dressed up like that. Folks, it's great journalism. Independent journalism will save this country, and it's great work. We love to support James O'Keefe and all the incredible independent journalists out there doing their very best. So if you want to watch the full footage, that's over at his X page. But folks, we got a lot happening over here that I want to make sure we dove into. Interesting enough, the president does have a very busy afternoon today. Let's highlight what are some of the things on his current agenda right now. The president is expected to participate in a Black History Month reception. And that's taking place at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And then at 4 p.m. Eastern time, he's participating in a signing time. No word as to what that specifically means. It does say that it's taking place at the Oval Office and it will be closed to the press. And there's also a presidential meeting as well on his policy at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that is also closed to media. Now, we got a lot of other things going on right now. We're keeping our eye right now on Mark Zuckerberg, who's expected to testify today. And it should get interesting. We saw that it has just begun, but Zuckerberg has not yet spoken, so we got our eye on that. But Zuckerberg is scheduled to take the stand at a trial. There you go. That's what it is. The trial regarding a case where he's accused of just allowing a lot of unsafe things and things to cause harm to kids' mental health to happen on his platform. So he's expected to testify to that today. So we've got our eye on that. We'll keep an eye to see how that all works out. When he does speak, if he does speak on cam, we'll bring that to you. But we got the feed up and running, so we are prepared to do just that. Also, something that I find to be quite interesting, there's a lot going on in regards to Jeffrey Epstein still. I don't know if you guys had seen, but Les Wexner is expected to testify today. Now, this is expected to be remote in front of the Oversight Committee. That's the House Committee, I should add to that. He's expected to speak to them in a closed-door questioning about his relationship with the convicted sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. So we're going to keep our eye on that because obviously it's closed door, unfortunately. And I don't like these closed door things. I don't like the fact that we do these depots. We have to wait for them to release the recording because they do black things out. They do, when you're watching a full deposition, they do actually black things out. So you can't really tell what's going on sometimes. So I'd rather just do it live. Let's see what's going on. I'm a big fan of transparency, and I hope others are as well. But again, we got our eyes on that, and I wanted to make sure that was clear. I also wanted to bring you an update because yesterday I was watching, and I watched it. You guys don't have to watch. We watched CNN clips, and we watched CNN and MSNBC and all these awful outlets. But yesterday they actually did have Ro Khan, the guy from California, the Democrat from California. It's a slow morning for me. He did speak about Les Wexner yesterday on CNN in regards to his relationship with Epstein. Let's listen in on clip 9.
So the House Oversight Committee, members of it, are going to Ohio tomorrow to speak to the former CEO of Victoria's Secret. That's Les Wexner. His name had been in the files, was redacted in one piece, then unredacted last week after Thomas Massie had called it out. He had a long financial and personal relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. He's denied wrongdoing. What information are you hoping to gain from him in this deposition?
What was his financial relationship with Jeffrey Epstein? Point blank, did he ever abuse young girls? And did he know of other people who were abusing young girls? How many times did he visit the island? How did Epstein make his money? So he has a lot to answer for, but it's not just him. My view is every single person who has emails showing that they visited the island, especially after Epstein was a convicted pedophile should be coming before the Congress and answering questions and be investigated. And the Justice Department should start a special prosecution investigatory committee into this issue. I mean, I get texts from survivors. I got one today with a name of someone in the file saying, what's happening? Send this to justice. Why aren't they doing anything? The survivors didn't just want these names out there. They wanted action. They want investigations. They want accountability. And it's happening in so many other countries.
It's not happening here. And there's a reason for that, of course, because our lawmakers are protecting these individuals. And again, I don't even know specifically who he's referring to there. If there are individuals that you believe should be held accountable in criminal court and there's a pathway to being able to prosecute them, let's talk about that. Let's break down what the legal fight could actually be. And I think that's really important to highlight. And unfortunately, we're not hearing that from these individuals who keep continuously going out there and saying that they're calling for accountability. Now, folks, it's really, really fascinating to sit back and watch as to how the American people are reacting to the Epstein files. I think the administration, as many of you guys know, has handled this obviously poorly, but they don't understand how bad this really is and how bad this has become. I wanted to remind our audience, and I know I did yesterday when I was speaking with Ann Vandersteel, I mentioned this, but I want to put this in context. You know, a couple of months ago, this was back in 2025, I actually submitted a FOIA request. That's a Freedom of Information Act request to the Bureau of Prisons. I talked about that yesterday. That request, when you send it in, by the way, because the DOJ operates the Bureau of Prisons, it's underneath them. So you'd request it through that. I put that request in and the DOJ responded back to me by my simple request that all it asked for was the final phone call that Jeffrey Epstein made prior to his alleged suicide. Now, I'll get to why that's important here. The Bureau of Prisons, though, wrote something back to me that I found was quite strange. We located no records. That's what they told me. They had no records of Jeffrey Epstein's final phone call. Now, that phone call was made around 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern time. That was his time window to make that call. It's alleged that his final call was spent with his sister. Again, that's kind of floated around. It hasn't really been 100% confirmed. But why doesn't the Bureau of Prisons have that recording? It doesn't make sense. They record all phone calls. That's how it's supposed to be. Unless, of course, you're talking to your attorney. I believe there's some slight probably discretion that could be utilized there in regards to being able to monitor those calls. But he's not calling his attorney. How is it that the camera system wasn't working that day? And also the recording system that would have recorded that last phone call wasn't working that day. It doesn't make sense. Now, if you're wondering why I'm so hyper-focused on getting that phone call and why I even submitted this request in the first place, think state of mind. What was Jeffrey Epstein's state of mind that day? Was he suicidal? Well, it doesn't seem to make sense because we know from the emails that have officially been released just recently that Epstein's attorneys believe that they were working out a plea agreement with the DOJ. So someone who would have a sense of optimism, like he might actually be getting out, why would he take his own life? I wanted to hear from him exactly. Was his phone call with his sister? Was it a phone call that was a call where he was saying, I'll love you, goodbye, like I love you forever, whatever it might have been, a goodbye kind of tone? Or was it something that was optimistic? Again, it doesn't make sense. Now, when you look into the reports that have been released regarding this phone call that we can't seem to get any type of records on, there's this allegation that Epstein told the jail staff that he was calling his mother. Now, keep in mind, his mother died 15 years prior to that phone call, back in 2004. Now, whether the guards knew that or not, obviously, you can't really hold that to them. But there's no real excuse as to why we don't have any records of that final phone call. Folks, when you get on a call, I obviously do a lot of pieces where I'm working with those who are being incarcerated currently for crimes, possibly, that they're charged with. And every time you get on the call, it reminds you the call's being recorded. Every call is recorded. So how is it possible that he somehow, some way made a final phone call that there's no records on? Doesn't seem to make sense. So this is one of the many elements that has me scratching my head. I don't understand how we could sit here and pretend like there's any legitimacy behind any of this. I'm sure as heck not going to pretend like this makes sense, because it doesn't. But again, I mean, we're told that we've got everything.
We've got everything. That's according to our DOJ. Obviously, I'm very skeptical. But it's their claim, I guess. Folks, I spoke about it briefly yesterday as well. Congressman Tony Gonzalez is accused of having an affair with one of his staffers. Now, that staffer later committed suicide by setting herself on fire. But there's a new report, and it's obviously very, very concerning, and I saw it this morning in the New York Post, and I think it's worth your attention. It's about internal messages. Now, they're claiming that the woman who he was allegedly having an affair with, who later died by suicide, that that woman eventually admitted in text message that she was, in fact, having an affair. Now, the text message they claim, it says, our boss is who she's having an affair with. I had an affair with our boss and I'm fine, is what the screenshot that was obtained by the New York Post says. Now, again, this is obviously deeply, deeply concerning because this woman doused herself in gasoline and set herself on fire in her backyard at her Texas home. Gonzalez has denied the affair rumors, calling them completely untrue. Untruthful was the exact quote. And also claiming that anyone who's circulating that is participating in a political attack against him. Now, again, he is up for re-election right now, and he has officially been endorsed by President Trump. Real head scratcher there. We talked about that yesterday. I don't know how the president would endorse someone like this, especially given the fact that the investigation is still underway. But here we are. Here we are. Tony Gonzalez, again, not very liked by those in Texas. Not. He is someone who's been propped up by a lot of questionable characters. A lot of people refer to him as a rhino here in Texas. A lot of people believe that he is someone who, in fact, is aligned with the cartels when it comes to not prioritizing border security like the way he should be. But those are all accusations, just like the accusation that his staffer is allegedly someone who he had an affair with. And again, Gonzalez has been quite silent on the issue, denying the initial accusations while not really reacting to any of the information. And I think it's fascinating when we sit back and watch this as it unravels, because again, I spoke about it briefly yesterday. The president's endorsements don't align with what the MAGA agenda should actually be. A lot of rhinos, a lot of people working against the MAGA agenda are the individuals who are getting his backing. And it's got a lot of his most loyal supporters saying, all right, the endorsements are actually really bad. Tony Gonzalez should have never received that endorsement. And it's really frustrating to sit back and watch this as it all unravels, of course. All right, we got a lot to discuss in just a bit. Folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the app. Again, that's how you stay in contact with us. We never know when the doors are finally going to shut. And so the best way to stay in touch with us, of course, is over at the Alex Jones app. So head on over, alexjonesapp.com right now. Make sure you download the app. Again, we don't know. This could be the final week. It's just random, but we want you to stay in touch with us. So that's the best way to do just that. Make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com. Also, I just got word, you know, Matt just rushed us into the control room. We've actually extended that sale that was supposed to end today, the mega sale over at the alexjonesstore.com. We just extended it another couple of more hours. Another couple more hours. That's proper English. It's 52% off right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Again, I haven't seen prices this low since, well, forever. It's been since Christmas. So if you're in need of stocking up, maybe on some of your favorite supplements, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you do just that. Again, folks, it is 52% off site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com. Your support is what keeps us on air, and it's crucial that you help us over at thealexjonesstore.com. And also keep in mind, too, it's the final week to enter to win both the Ford Mustang as well as the Ford F-250. Plus $20,000 in cash. Every time you make a purchase over at the shop, you're entering to win one of these sick rides and a lot of cash. So it's a great investment over at thealexjonesstore.com.
An RF JFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing methylene blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our methylene blue. Our methylene blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it. I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening here. A lot happening last night, though, in Dallas, Texas. It was a busy night for those who are looking to possibly take the torch from AG Ken Paxton in the beautiful state of Texas. A lot of candidates are looking to do just that, but I'm a little biased, and there's one that I really, really like because I believe that, number one, he's not a politician, which is always greatly appreciated. He's also been a fighter in both Paxton's team, obviously, as AG of Texas.
but most importantly over at the DOJ. And his name is Aaron Reitz, and I'm very excited about this. But Aaron yesterday made me very, very proud. He was in an open debate, and he got a couple of jabs in there. But his messaging is quite clear. He's the only candidate being endorsed by Ken Paxton. And obviously, well, the state of Texas, when it comes to our AG, has been the leader in the fight for freedom. And so we can't tread lightly on this issue. We need someone who's going to fill Ken Paxton's seat, who is a brave fighter for America first. And for me, that's definitely Aaron Reitz. I know that, and I hope all of you at home do. But in case you missed his debate performance last night, let's take a listen.
I've been at the very cutting edge throughout the justice system, fighting against blue state overreach and environmentalist activists. When I was Attorney General Paxton's deputy, leading 46 lawsuits against the 46th president and winning 85% of those lawsuits, a quarter of those lawsuits were on environmental regulations, on what the Biden administration was trying to cram down on Texas, to destroy our oil and gas economy, to push the Green New scam on us, to push subsidies on us. I know how to fight against these forces and win. Not only did I do it as Paxton's deputy, but I also did it when I was a senior executive at the Justice Department, when one of President Trump's very first executive orders was to roll back the Biden-era environmental litigation that was oppressing oil and gas exploration and production. And as the head of the Office of Legal Policy, I worked with the Environment and Natural Resources Division at DOJ to roll it back. And as the next Attorney General, we are also going to turn our attention to the local environmentalists that want to obscure local ordinances to stop exploration and production. On my watch, we're going to drill, baby, drill. So don't be fooled when Chip tells you that he was Paxton's chief deputy and he wants to cite his record there. Remember, he was so ineffective, so bad at serving as Paxton's deputy, that Paxton fired him. Now, that's not often covered in the media, but I hope that the media pool does their due diligence, because they will realize that even though he wants to cite that experience, it was so bad he shouldn't be running on it today.
Congressman, would you like to respond? 30 seconds.
Well, that's simply not true. But I know someone who both of us work for that's endorsed me, and that's Senator Ted Cruz. And he has put his full confidence in me to serve as the Attorney General of Texas, Ted having served as Solicitor General for this great state. He knows what is necessary in that office, and I'm proud to have his full support and endorsement.
Well, I don't know. A Ted Cruz endorsement doesn't sell me. I'm not someone who truly believes that Ted Cruz is a fighter, and I think a lot of people are trying to flush Chip Roy out of D.C. because, well, he's hard to work with. Members of his team have told me extensively that he has always been someone who is a problem. He's been fired from several jobs. So Aaron is the only candidate that I'm going to back, and I usually just don't even back people. But folks, this is a very important seat. This is a very important seat. And this was the last time we had him in studio, obviously. He's brave enough. And I'm wearing the same dress. Who would have known? And I'm brave enough. Well, I'm sorry. He's brave enough to come out here and to speak against Islam when it wasn't very popular. A lot of candidates actually had to wait. They waited to jump into the Islam fight. And they wanted to see how it was polling. And so because it was polling well, a lot of people jumped on board. But Aaron didn't care. He just jumped into the fray. Didn't need a poll to motivate him to do just that. And it's truly quite impressive. He is a fighter and the only one I'm going to be supporting at this point. So make sure you do just that. Also, obviously, vote for Ken Paxton. I know many of you guys are heading on over, if you're a Texan right now, possibly to vote early. I would recommend Paxton, of course, because, well, John Cornyn is a deep state operative, in my opinion. As someone who has pushed for FISA to be extended time and time again, he defends it and then lies to the American people by saying, FISA's never been used against an American citizen. There's no such thing as warrantless spying. You can't trust a guy like that. You can't. You can't. So keep that in the back of your mind as you make your way out to vote. I highly recommend everyone do just that. But I want to shift gears over a little bit. Let's talk about New York City, my former home. New York City, obviously, it's a communist takeover, as many of you guys know. And it's been pretty heartbreaking to sit back and watch. I've been watching from the sidelines, and I have not been happy. But we knew this was going to happen. In fact, everyone else is late to the game. They are far too late to the game. What do I mean by that? Well, the fact that we're now talking about how he is a communist, I mean, they waited to the very last few weeks to bring attention to that. And again, it didn't make any sense why they did just that, but now they're all jumping on board. I was watching Fox Live yesterday. I just have a bunch of stuff just running all day in my home. And they can't stop covering Zohra Mamdani press conferences. They have made him into a celebrity. Well, now that we've normalized this discussion, it's a bad news if you're a property owner in New York City. And all of my friends who did own property in New York City thankfully listened to me and they sold their property right before the election. So they're good to go. But anyone else who still owns property or even rents, because it's going to affect you if you rent, common sense, obviously, if the cost of living starts to go up for those who own property, well, it's going to go up for renters as well. But Zohra Mamdani is trying to float his budget for 2027 out there right now. And it's a little rough. So it's going to be hard for him to give all these free incentives to illegal aliens. And so what he's looking to do is potentially, and he's trying to threaten this, potentially raise property taxes on New York City homeowners. Take a listen.
I've been at the very cutting edge.
You said this is distressing.
Oh, very distressing. And what I noticed in that soundbite, you guys called it an ultimatum. I'd go as far to call it a threat. And I don't like to see elected officials threatening each other in this way. Hochul's worried about her reelection, and she knows that a tax hike in any way, shape, or form will not be received well by voters. So this isn't just about her winning. It's that people right. don't want it, and he doesn't get that message.
But he'll probably do it if she wins and beats Bruce Blakeman. She'll probably do it anyway, just like the whole congestion pricing thing, which she sure she wouldn't do.
And it was debacle.
So let's break this down. Option one, number one, tax the wealthy. Raise the taxes already on corporations. We're already one of the most unattractive tax states in the country. Mm-hmm. Can only be approved by the state government. That's where Kathy Hochul comes in. But so does the legislature.
Right.
And the governor Hochul has insisted she isn't in favor of that. But she's already given a little bit on child care, too.
Yes. And what she's trying to do is the reasonable, sensible thing. But that's when he pivots and he says, OK, if you don't give me what I want, here's what I'm going to do. And this is what is distressing, because this ends up hurting the people, many of them, that he proposed that he would help with affordability, because these 3 million homes that are going to get hit with this real estate tax, these are not all millionaires. These are a lot of very normal people that will end up not being able to afford to live here. They will flee the city and the problem gets worse.
And they are already fleeing the city for Texas, and including major corporations like J.P. Morgan, believe it or not, has more people in Texas right now at their Dallas building than that mammoth building a few blocks from here, because it pays to move the people to Texas where there is no state tax.
And I just want to make the point, because you're bringing up a great point about businesses. That's why either of these options is a terrible option, and he needs to just abort and move on to something else.
Because obviously, Fox is trying to talk some common sense into a commie. It's not going to go over well. It's obviously a shakedown. He's going after the governor at her expense of possibly not winning her reelection. And again, you know, it's bad when we're referring to Kathy Hochul as being reasonable. Many of you guys know she is a radical lefty. But let's pivot for a second. We'll head back on over to the Zohra Mamdani topic, because there was a lot that happened yesterday on that front. Let's talk about a story that I saw today in Axios. Axios is claiming that the United States is inching closer and closer to a full-on war with Iran. As many of you guys know, President Trump continues to promote the fact that we're somehow having peace discussions. Now, it's been back and forth. He's been honest with the American people, saying, all right, it's not, they might not be in a place where they're really looking to negotiate. And the reporting's kind of all over the place. Right now, Axios is again claiming that we've never been at a more crucial time right now. The headline itself this morning said Trump moves closer to a major war with Iran. Now, everyone ran with that headline, of course. I've reached out to the Pentagon to see if they have any type of details they'd like to disclose on how they feel about this Axios report. Not yet heard back, but let's break down some of the moves that they say are currently being made. They're claiming that there have been more than 150 U.S. military cargo flights that have been moved, that have been moving weapon systems and ammunition into the Middle East over these last few months. They also claim that there's been another 50 fighter jets in the last 24 hours sent towards the Middle East. Now, they're also citing the surge, the cost of oil currently, as it increasingly goes up. It's about $64 a barrel right now. And they believe that tensions haven't been higher. They also say that well, just given the fact that the threats that have been unleashed onto the White House right now from Iran, that they think that we are pretty much getting very, very close to full-on war. Now, that could be fear-mongering. As many of you guys know, they love to do just that. So I want to welcome our next guest to help us dissect the Iran issue. All right. Well, Nate Vance is joining us in just a few moments. We are connecting back with him. But once we get him on, folks, he's a veteran and he's someone who is an expert on the issue. He's a Marine infantryman. And as many of you guys know, he was on with Matt Tardio when he was filling in for me. But interesting enough, he is actually also the cousin of Vice President J.D. Vance as well. So we look forward to hearing from him in just a few moments. I've got a lot to ask him on that front. Specifically, if this is fear-mongering, as many of you guys know right now, the media has been inching us closer and closer, but it's not just also the media, it's also Israel. And so the harsh reality of all of this, and Nate's actually with us now, and Nate, it's an honor to have you on the program today. Thank you for being here. You know, I'm kind of trying to dissect this Axios report, and Axios is claiming that we're inching closer and closer to a war with Iran. Now, obviously, many are very skeptical of all of this, but we've seen what Israel's also done and how they are also trying to, but it appears to be pushing through the media, trying to push us a little bit closer to all of this. What's your feel for all of this Axios reporting in regards to the what they're claiming is the rapid shipment of obviously both ammunition and weapon systems to the Middle East? Do you think we're inching closer and closer to war with Iran?
I don't think you move that many assets for show. Mm-hmm. That's not a show of force. That means something. And then, you know, also recent reportings of Iran that you are the regime threatening to close down the Strait of Hormuz. That's not exactly Trump being aggressive. That's if you want to pick a fight with the United States Navy, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what we're actually looking at, too, today. It was reported today in the media that they're actually running joint exercises over there. Now that's between Russia, China, and Iran. Obviously, that's an aggressive approach. But do you think it's more of a display or do you think it's an active threat?
I think it's more of a display. I think it's trying to encourage the United States to wait until those, you know, like if they're doing anything with those countries, it's a way of saying, don't do anything while these other countries are here because we don't want to pull them into a conflict, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a way of kind of kicking the can down the road for the Iranians. But this is not just aggressiveness by Trump. I mean, his approach is aggressive. He's setting, he's setting limits on what he wants them to do, and he's going to enforce those limits. But the Iranians are not exactly being passive here, right? Mm-hmm. Threatening to close down the Strait of Hormuz affects global trade and global energy prices. That's not something that I'm going to make fun of the U.S. Navy because it's easy and it's mostly true. But when the chips are down and they're actually in a fight, the Navy is no joke. So the U.S. Navy will open the Strait of Hormuz, but that would initiate a conflict and then a response from the Iranians. So it seems like they want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it does seem like that. And it has been inching closer and closer to, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like everything, the tensions are increasing. So the Axios report could possibly be factually true in regards to that. I've actually reached out to the Pentagon, like I mentioned earlier in the show, to get their take on all of this. And I have not yet heard back, but we'll bring that update to our audience very, very soon. But, you know, President Trump has spoken openly about trying to lead peace negotiations with Iran to work on a deal. Currently, right now, according to reports, he has designated this task with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff as well, jumping in on this fight. Do you think that we are... Is there any legitimacy behind this? You think we could actually hold peace talks with Iran? Because it seems like based on what they've been leaking out into the media, that they're not even interested in the potential of a peace agreement.
Yeah, look, I think the peace talks will be fruitless with Iran. I don't think that, I don't want to say there's no point because mm-hmm. there is. I think one, you know, for as many criticisms as people levy against President Trump, the one thing he does provide people is off ramps. Right before he does any of these actions, he gives people more opportunities than I would to comply. But also, while those peace talks are going on, while that's going on, he's moving assets into the region. So if the peace talks do fail, it's an overwhelming force that's in place when they, you know, if or when they fail, the response is insurmountable by the Iranian regime. They won't be able to do anything with the amount of assets that are in the Middle East currently.
Yeah. It's also worth noting that the Axios also reported that a Trump advisor estimated that there's a 90% chance of a kinetic action in the next upcoming week. So to keep that in the back of your minds. But I kind of want to bring this back to Venezuela, Nate, because we saw what happened in Venezuela. The president was obviously being very aggressive publicly with Maduro and telling him to surrender very publicly. And because he didn't do so, we saw how that unraveled for him. Do you expect something similar to happen if, again, these peace talks, if they don't really have any legitimacy here, do you think the president is going to quickly step in on this front?
If I'm a betting man, yeah, I think that there's going to be an exchange between the U.S. and Iran soon, right? Mm-hmm. I can't put like actual dates on it, but yeah, it's going to be sooner rather than later. And I don't think it's going to go well for the Iranian regime. Now, as far as like what particular missions get carried out and how it's going to happen, anybody that's predicting that for you is probably lying. nobody knows, right? Yeah. Like nobody knows except for the guys in the briefing room. So, but what I can tell you is that it won't feel good on the Iranian side of things for the regime at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're keeping our eye on all things related to that. And we've also got our inquiries into the Pentagon. So I look forward to seeing how they respond to all of this. Nate Vance, thank you for joining us today. Folks, give him a follow on X as well. It's at Vance Nate. That's where you could find him at. We appreciate your service to this great country. We appreciate you jumping on and helping us understand the complexity of the issue. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to gear up right now and take it back to New York City because, oh man, I was watching yesterday. Zohra and Madani is still out there pushing all this nonsense about raising taxes on New Yorkers. And listen, they have it coming. I mean, when you vote for this stuff, you have to understand what comes next. And it is an absolute crisis unraveling right now in New York City. Crime is surging. And he's only been in office for, what, 49 days? I mean, I knew it was going to, and I joked yesterday very lightly with Joe Pags when I was on his show. I was like, I can't believe it took this long for us to get to this point. But the reality of it is it's actually happening pretty quickly. And I don't know if New Yorkers yet have buyer's remorse as to electing this very corrupt individual. Again, I don't even know why we allowed him to run. He was an immigrant. He was not a U.S. citizen. And when he became a U.S. citizen, he lied. He lied. We could have revoked his citizenship and had him tossed from this election, but we chose not to. Keep that in the back of your minds. And I want to play this clip because this was the clip that we were talking about earlier in the show. Clip three is Zohran Mamdani laying out his threat to raise taxes on property owners. Take a listen.
I know that for those who have watched budget after budget, it is tempting to assume that we are engaging in the same dance as our predecessors. Let me assure you, nothing about this is typical. That's why our solutions won't be either. There are two paths to bridge this gap. The first is the most sustainable and the fairest path. This is the path of ending the drain on our city and raising taxes on the richest New Yorkers and the most profitable corporations. The onus for resolving this crisis should not be placed on the backs of working and middle-class New Yorkers. If we do not fix this structural imbalance and do not heed the calls of New Yorkers to raise taxes on the wealthy, this crisis will not disappear. It will simply return, year after year, forcing harder and harsher choices each time. And if we do not go down the first path, the city will be forced down a second, more harmful path. Faced with no other choice, the city would have to exercise the only revenue lever fully within our own control. We would have to raise property taxes. We would also be forced to raid our reserves. To balance the budget as required by law, our preliminary budget takes the only path within our control, the second path. The options of the second path are the options of last resort. Options that we will only employ if there is no other means of arriving at a balanced budget.
Yeah, it's a shakedown, New York. You either give this little communist all the money he's asking for, or he's going to hold property taxes over your head. This is ideal for Republicans, obviously, heading into that very, very heated up reelection for Kathy Hochul. As many of you guys know, it's usually a landslide, just given the fact that New York City is holding both upstate New York and Long Island hostage. And so before anyone says, well, New York's going to get, no, it's pretty red, I'd say, up in upstate, as well as Long Island's pretty moderate as well. It's New York that holds it hostage. But, you know, there's some reasonable folks still out there. Eric Adams, as many of you guys know, he was the former New York City mayor. He actually commented on it, saying free isn't free. It's just a bill someone else has to pay. Yes. factually true, 100%. You see, so many New Yorkers didn't realize this was a communist takeover. This was a communist takeover. I know that they thought they were going to get free and affordable housing. It was a promise that was laid out. And it's going to be a rough lesson for New Yorkers. But the reality of it is, it's going to cost them a lot. It is going to cost them an absurd amount of money. It's already extremely expensive to live in New York City, by the way. I don't understand. He sits there and pretends like it's just property taxes that are going to go up. That includes rent. And I know he wants to sit there and pretend like he's not going to raise the rent on people, create legislation to make sure that doesn't happen. People are going to flee. Landlords are going to go bankrupt. But this is all a part of the plan. It is an Islamic takeover of New York City. And this has always been the plan. And so we're just sitting on the sidelines watching what unravels. And it's obviously personal on a personal level for me as a New Yorker. It is devastating. But folks, this is what happens. I mean, it could be a nearly, as you see here, it could be a nearly 10% property tax increase. And this is absurd. But they voted for this, allegedly. So this is what's happening in New York right now. And it's worth noting, too, I posted about it over the weekend. Crime is surging, crime on public transportation specifically. And it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. But this is what was voted in, is what we were told. Right now, it looks like when it comes to mass transit, crime spiked 17% so far this year. Again, he's only been in office for 49 days. When you look at the breakdown, the comparison from last year to this year, according to the New York Post, who has obtained these statistics, the New York Post came out and said that so far for the year, there's been 246 incidences. And when you compare it to last year, there was only about 210. Robberies have also soared. They're at about 58%. And assaults are also climbing 9% as well. So there's a lot of violence going on in New York City right now. And it's only the beginning. We haven't even officially hit the 2-month mark with this man. Kathy Hochul knows that's a problem. She knows that this is going to reflect on her. And Bruce Blakeman is hopefully going to be able to make a good, decent argument. Just appear to be moderate. That's my only suggestion in all of this. Appear to be very moderate. Because you got to try to win New York City. In the sidelines and watch this all the time. I'm like, it's going to get real bad for New York. And hopefully they could somehow, even though I think the New York GOP is a group of just losers, but to somehow pull those people in to vote in New York City. Upstate New York is not the problem. Long Island's not the problem. It's those damn liberals in New York City. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now because we just extended that mega sale. I know I told you yesterday it was ending in a few hours, but now with this extension, it's going to end in a few hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 52% off site-wide. Some of your favorite items right now are on sale at prices I've never seen before. Again, I can't stop bragging about those energy shots. I do one a day in the morning. That's why I'm, you know, very high energy right now. No jitters. It's clean. It's just vitamins. And there's no caffeine. It's the best thing you could start your mornings with as well. As our electrolytes that we just launched just last week. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab these up. It is an incredible discount that you won't get anywhere else. Again, it's thealexjonesstore.com, 52% off while supplies last. And of course, only a couple more hours left in that.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
I'm gonna go get some more.